Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. Thanks so much for tuning in. Tonight, Abby will be reading a story from the history books about Marie Antoinette and her time as queen at the Palace of Versailles in France. So get ready to drift off to sleep like royalty. If you'd like to hear more of Get Sleepy's bedtime stories and meditations, then consider joining our supporters channel, Get Sleepy Premium. We put a lot of love, energy, time and effort into creating and delivering each dreamy episode right to your ears. And it simply wouldn't be possible without your support. Everything on Get Sleepy Premium is ad-free, and all proceeds directly support the production of Get Sleepy. So if you'd like to help the show and want to learn more about Get Sleepy Premium, go to our website at getsleepy.com/support, or simply use the link in the show notes to find out more. So now, let's prepare for our story by getting ourselves nice and relaxed. Place your hands on your belly and take a deep inhale, feeling your belly rise as you take the air in, and then exhale, noticing how your belly lowers as the air leaves your body. Allow that pace of breath to continue while you place your attention on your toes and imagine that there's a light switch for your toes. Right now, it's turned on, as it has been all day. But you're ready for bed now. So, just turn that light switch off, noticing how that causes your toes to relax. Next, move your attention to your feet and turn the switch for your feet off as well. Now, turn off the switch for your lower legs, your thighs, and your hips, allowing everything below your waist to relax. And focus now on your abdomen. Turn off the light switch there as well. And then your chest. Your upper back and lower back. Your shoulders, your arms, and your hands and fingers. Then turn off the switch for your neck before finally you turn off the light switch for your head. And now that you are entirely calm, relaxed, and your body has switched off, let's turn to our story. Picture a sunny summer's day in the French countryside. The rhythmic clip-clop of the horses pulling your carriage begins to slow. You peer out a window lined with golden trim. After a short carriage ride from Paris, you've arrived at a resplendent palace.
It's 1786. Versailles is the majestic retreat for French kings and queens. King Louis XIV, the Sun King, built Versailles in the 17th century. Now, over 100 years later, the palace is home to Marie Antoinette, the Queen of France. Marie Antoinette is the youngest daughter of Holy Roman Empress Maria Theresa. The Empress married her daughter to the heir to the French throne to strengthen the alliance between the two often warring nations. Now, in 1786, Marie Antoinette has been the Queen of France for over a decade. Versailles is her escape from the faster pace of Paris. Her chariot has brought her here for a relaxing weekend. The patter of horse hooves stops when her chariot reaches the royal gate. It marks the boundary of the palace. Lined with over 100,000 gold leaves, the gate informs visitors that royals live within. Met by a handful of servants who guide her through the gate, Marie Antoinette steps into a large courtyard. Here, the palace rises up with marvel. Arched windows and balconies, lined with gold leaves, overlook the courtyard. From one of these balconies, Louis XIV, the Sun King, once addressed the French people. The courtyard is never empty. Women wearing gowns with wide skirts cross the space, attending to their duties. Aristocratic men arrive in horse-drawn carriages for business meetings. And visitors from Paris flock for a glimpse of the king and queen. As she draws closer to the building, she crosses onto the marble courtyard. Built in 1623, the courtyard's black and white tiles create vivid patterns. Above it, the red bricks and white stones of the palace look even brighter. Like everything at Versailles, the marble courtyard puts the royal family's riches on display. The Queen reaches the wide doors that lead into the royal family's apartments. Today she isn't visiting the royal chapel or the private opera house. Instead, she climbs a wide marble staircase, step by step, each echoing through the hallways. At the top, she enters the Queen's apartments. Marie Antoinette has her own wing in the palace, opposite the king's apartments. Her rooms look out over the orangery, one of the most beautiful gardens in France. The chirp of birds drifts through the windows from outside. Unlike the courtyard, these apartments admit only a few people. At the top of the Queen's staircase, she enters the guard room. Here, 12 of her Queen's Guard stand on duty. They protect the royal family and limit access to the Queen's apartment. But the Queen's Guards also get the benefit of experiencing Versailles luxury. A golden chandelier hangs in the center of the room. Marble panels line the walls. Richly colored paintings in golden frames arch across the ceiling. Though the Queen rarely spends time in the guards' room, its luxurious decorations match the rest of the palace. After all, that's why Louis XIV built Versailles. The massive palace became home to thousands of nobles. By putting his wealth on display, the Sun King curried favour with the aristocracy and warned rivals that they would never outshine him. With a nod to her guards, Marie Antoinette passes into the next room, the Queen's antechamber. The royal family dines publicly in this room. Lining the walls are low stools embroidered with flowers, where honoured aristocrats sit to watch royal feasts. Rich red damask covers the wall. Golds, whites and reds mingle in the room, with a large mural stretching across the entire ceiling. Paintings of Marie Antoinette herself line the walls of this room. One depicts the Queen with three of her children. Marie Antoinette and her husband, King Louis XVI, dine here at the royal table once a week. The Queen recently installed a platform for musicians in the room, so all meals at the royal table now come with live music. Royal orchestra performances will fill the space with sweet sounds as freshly prepared foods cover the table. Wide, gold-lined doors lead to the next room, the Salon of the Nobles. Here, Marie Antoinette meets with her noble friends while they nibble on exquisite delicacies like her favourite sweet chocolates. Golden cherubs in a glistening chandelier look down upon them from the ceiling. But today, the room sits empty. The sound of the Queen's shoes patting on the hardwood floor echoes through the space as she moves to the next room, her bedchamber. This is the Queen's bedroom. A gilded canopy rises above four engraved bedposts. Atop it sits a golden eagle, ostrich feathers, and expensive fabric from Lyon lined with tassels. The same cream fabric lines the walls, embroidered in floral patterns of blue, pink, and yellow. Marie Antoinette changes the wall coverings every season. This light, airy pattern is for summertime. Two heavy chandeliers cast soft candlelight over the room. On one wall hangs a painting of her mother, Empress Maria Theresa. Her brother, Emperor Joseph II, sits on another wall. Hidden in the corner, nearly obscured by the wall hangings, is a secret door. It leads to the king's bedchamber on the opposite side of the palace, allowing the king and queen to pass through the palace, hidden from sight. A tall mahogany cabinet sits near the bed. Here the queen stores her jewellery. Diamonds, pearls, and precious stones rest in velvet drawers, waiting for special occasions. Today, Marie Antoinette takes off an expensive diamond necklace and lays it in the velvet-lined drawer. She's planning to visit the gardens and her secluded hamlet, where she leaves behind all of her finery in order to relax. The Queen certainly enjoyed the trappings of power. Elaborate gowns, expensive jewels, and luxurious foods were some of her favourites. She often wore diamonds and pearls when attending balls. For Marie Antoinette, exquisite gatherings were one of the most enjoyable benefits of royalty. Having changed into more casual attire, Marie Antoinette decides to stroll through the Hall of Mirrors on her way to the gardens. Sunlight shines through the 17 arched windows as she enters the long open corridor. Beyond these windows lies the lush Versailles Gardens. Opposite the windows are over 350 mirrors along the wall. The reflecting afternoon sunlight brings an uncompromised warmth and brightness to the room. As she walks through the hall, Marie Antoinette sees her reflection passing through mirror after mirror. She pauses, gazing at herself. She's no longer the teenage girl who came to France decades earlier. She turned 30 on her last birthday. Her hair, almost white with powder, falls past her shoulders, waving gently with the afternoon breeze flowing in through the windows. She wears an informal dress, one suited for a stroll in the gardens. Ruffles line the neck and sleeves, thin and delicate. A wide golden sash marks her waistline. Even the Queen's casual clothes cost a fortune. This room tells every visitor of France's power and success. The paintings on the arched ceiling show the victories of Louis XIV in battle. Gilded bronze and gold drape from the pillars and arches. Statues from antiquity fill the spaces between mirrors and windows. The mirrors themselves show France's wealth. Venice, Italy, once had a stronghold on the production of mirrors, but by now, the French rivaled the Venetians. With chandeliers and 24 gilded candelabras to light the room after dark, it's no wonder the Queen and King favour this room to host elaborate balls. Matched with a string quartet and trays of champagne and delicacies, it's a perfect ambiance for noblemen in powdered wigs and aristocratic women in full gowns to spin through the hall. But right now, it's time for Marie Antoinette to relax. From the window, she gazes out at a large fountain and the Grand Canal, a man-made, orderly body of water. The canal, in the shape of a cross, doesn't have the uneven boundaries of a natural lake. Instead, its geometric lines speak to the power of the nobility over nature itself. Beyond it, a park filled with trees gives the illusion of wilderness. This is where she's headed now. As she leaves the palace behind, the smell of citrus fills the air. The orangery lies just outside her royal apartments. The hundreds of orange trees that live here give this part of Versailles its name. In winter, the royal gardeners bring the orange trees inside. But in summer, they dot the orderly, geometric outdoor garden. Most were gifts to the king from other nobility in Italy, Spain, and Portugal. In between the orange trees are the occasional lemon tree or oleander plant. As she passes tree after tree, Marie Antoinette enjoys the low buzz of bees and the playful chirps of birds. Beyond the last line of trees, the royal drive leads toward the Grand Canal. Here, an exquisite basin rises up. In four tiers, a fountain tells the story of Latona, the mother of Apollo and Diana. Atop the tiered fountain, Latona stands with her young children at her feet. Dozens of fountains spray water from the central sculpture. Gold frogs and lizards line the lower levels. According to the myth, Latona turned peasants into frogs if they insulted her. Marie Antoinette pauses for a moment, enjoying the trickling sound of water in the fountain, before continuing on. Thick and perfectly kept gardens line the wide path to the Grand Canal. Hidden away in the woods, Louis XIV sprinkled fountains and Roman ruins. Marie Antoinette passes by the colonnade, a 100-foot circle with 64 marble columns and arches. It's a favourite spot for noble picnics, where they can transport back in time to ancient Rome. Quite literally, the gardens are a treasure trove for nobles to explore. Behind any hedge, one might stumble upon a work of art, a grove, waterfall, or fountain. The sound of water lapping signals Marie Antoinette has reached the Grand Canal. Here, the royal family imported gondolas for summer recreation. In winter, nobles ice skate on the frozen surface. The queen heads north, past the canal, on a tree-lined path towards the Grand Trianon. This palace, lined in pink marble, offers a private retreat for the king. The nearby Petit Trianon was built for Louis XV's mistress, Madame de Pompadour. But today, the Petit Trianon is Marie Antoinette's palace. Her husband gifted the palace to her when they married. When life in Paris or Versailles overwhelms the queen, she enjoys an escape to this quieter but still elegant homestead. Compared to Versailles, the Petit Trianon seems small. It's a cubicle building, with each face looking over a different garden. Marie Antoinette's room looks over the English gardens and the Temple of Love. This classic structure has 12 columns topped with a dome. A statue of Cupid dons the interior. Completed in 1778, the Temple of Love represents Marie Antoinette's changes to the Petit Trianon and its grounds. She remodeled the gardens, installing an English-style garden that created the illusion of natural features. The new garden has a stone mountain where water pours into a pond, and a theatre to cater to her love of the arts. Oftentimes, instead of hiring actors, the Queen will act out plays with her friends. It's one of her favourite pastimes. But Marie Antoinette does not enter the Petit Trianon today. She's going somewhere even more secluded and relaxed. The Queen's Hamlet. Finished in 1786, the Hamlet brings rural life to Versailles. It offers her the opportunity to live more simply. Here, a model village surrounds a calm, placid lake. Cottages line one side of the water. On the other side sit a windmill, barn, and dairy. Royal servants produce eggs and milk for the king and queen here. Pigs, sheep, and hens live in the barn. A few times, the queen herself dressed as a milkmaid and carried out daily tasks to imagine life as a peasant. Having reached the end of her walk, Marie Antoinette pauses for a moment at the side of the lake. The sun slowly dips toward the horizon. Golden light turns the hamlet into a dreamy setting. A swan elegantly paddles across the lake. As the light turns orange and then pink, the gentle sound of the crickets rises to meet the coming moon. Dusk falls. It's quiet. The hamlet truly feels like an escape from Versailles. Life slows down here. Though the life of royalty seems plush, Marie Antoinette enjoys these moments of solitude. They are rare in her life. She typically has to wear fanciful clothing and smile widely for each visitor. Now she can relax. She has nothing to do and no one to entertain or impress. She can feel the weight lifting off her shoulders. Soon enough, Marie Antoinette will retire to one of the richly decorated rooms in her private cottage and climb into a cozy feather bed for a night of rest. But for now, she finds a comfortable seat in the grass on the bank of the water. She listens to the evening birds and the soft lapping of waves as the cream-coloured swan glides across the lake. Simple moments of tranquility like this are special, even for a queen. I hope you enjoyed that royal journey back in time. Now it's time for you to get the full night of refreshing sleep that you deserve. Good night.